Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Zeros TV and another episode of The Chopping Block. Today, I'm joined by Dan David of Wolfpack Research. Dan, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
So tell us, who's up on The Chopping Block today?
Today, we're short Goosehead Insurance. Goosehead went public in 2018, and they're essentially an insurance broker that focuses on the franchise model, keying in on referral partners from the real estate industry.
So before we get into detail, can you just tell us what are the key points behind your short thesis on Goosehead?
What we think the market does not know, and our analysis shows us that contrary to management claims and indications, the failure rate and the churn for first-year franchisees has topped 67% in 2021 and getting worse this year. That's just the opposite of growth. Past that, their reliance and business model, which is tied to the real estate market, as indicated by the employees that we interviewed, say that 85 to 95% of their referral partners are in the real estate market. And that's what they focus on. And it's really dried up for them over the last year. This fourth quarter is going to be an absolute killer for them as well. Management likes to tout a growth story that's just getting started. But we calculate that the CEO and his family members in the C-suite, which is a whole nother story, have already taken off $900 million for themselves, cashed in. And now that's $900 million that they've taken out for themselves, but that's only less than $25 million in cumulative net income since IPO. Again, not a growth story and not getting better, especially when you consider that franchisees in their first year bring home about $38,400. And that's before they're paying any debt for borrowing to buy the franchise from Goosehead. None of it sounds good. All of it explains why the churn is so high.
Wow. So 67% churn in 2021. Do you have any idea of what you're expecting for 2022?
Well, the K's not out yet, so we don't have the complete see-through, but we've done some analysis on this, and we're looking as of Q3 of 2022, of the 1,403 operating franchises, 700 have less than 2 years of tenure. So they are not making a whole lot of money, and they're at great risk of failure with the real estate market going the way it is, and that being the bulk of their referrals. 193 of them, we have calculated, have already closed this year through Q3. We think another 100 could close over the fourth quarter, maybe already have, by the end of this month. And the governance of this company, I would also add, bears a closer resemblance to a fiefdom than a corporation. Mark Jones is the chairman and CEO of this company. His wife is the vice chair. His son is the CFO, and his son-in-law is the chief of legal. And all of this can be done because of a shareholder agreement that essentially says that the Class B shareholders, of which Mark Jones and his family are like 90% of, have to approve anybody being fired. There is no governance there.
Those are some great points. But before we get into those in detail, can you just tell us what Goosehead does?
Yeah, sure. As I said, Goosehead is a franchisor of independent insurance brokers. It's kind of the Priceline of insurance brokers. Most brokers are that model. It also offers some back-end support for their franchisees, but the main value proposition that Goosehead offers is some menu of different carriers, unlike captive agencies like Allstate or State Farm. You know, this is not a new business model. You know, basically all independent brokers have this model of different carriers, unlike captive carriers. What's new to the go-to-market strategy they have is that Goosehead is laser-focused on the real estate industry for referral leads, which is why they give them back-end support so that they can get their agents out there to get referral leads from the real estate market and where they spend the most of their time.
Well, that's actually a good point to start off with, because it sounds like from your introduction there that it's pretty critical to Goosehead's overall story.
Yeah. I mean, it's the secret to their sauce, right? I mean, everybody we spoke to, from, you know, their former employees to clients, you know, it really revolved around loan originators, real estate agents. And it was an okay strategy, I guess, you know, for the last 10 years, but now it's really not okay. And if that's your growth engine, now you're in big trouble, because real estate sales have really dried up. It's why a lot of people have left the company that we spoke to. And logically, even thinking about where they get these referrals in real estate from, they're mostly first-time home buyers, because home buyers that are buying another home have their own real estate agent. I mean, have their own insurance broker already or insurance agent. So that's really dried up for them. And as I said, it's 85 to 90% of their referrals come from the real estate market.
And has management responded to the slowdown in the housing activity at all?
They have responded to it. And I would point out also that this last quarter, their rate of policies in force hit its lowest point since IPO. And fourth quarter is traditionally terrible. We think it's going to be much lower. And management has, you know, while they touted this for years, their secret sauce of being into the real estate market and cornering that, they're now starting to back off these claims as they're getting a few questions from analysts and kind of asserting that the home insurance policies are only about 20% of its business, and that's what's related to the housing market. But it's a misleading metric because 60% of their business is in renewals, 40% comes from new growth, and they're saying half of that 40% comes from new homes. But their focus on the home business allows them to first get the home and then cross-sell other policies. So a lot of their business that comes in auto or other lines of insurance first starts with the home, where they are forcing and have forced their franchisees and agents to hit hard with relationships.
And do you have any idea if the slowdown in the housing market has made an impact on Goosehead overall already?
Yeah, I'll take an example. You know, speaking to at least one former employee I remember talking to, he was like, look, you know, I mean, last year, the year before, I had, you know, 5 or 10 referrals coming from my referral partners a month. This former employee left just a few months ago. And he said, like, you know, earlier this year, it was down to 1 a month and none a month. And that's just gotten worse, as we all know. So it's had a real effect on their growth story.
All right. So we know that the housing market, you know, is really having an impact on Goosehead's growth story. But are there any other issues that you see for its overall growth narrative?
Yeah, I think the fact that they're trying to double dip with their corporate channel has really affected them. You know, they've got the franchisees, which, you know, we've already said it's a tough slog uphill that first year, which is why they're losing 67% or more. And the company's not really talking about that churn rate. And then they've got this corporate channel. Let's take Texas, for instance, where they're that's really fleshed out corporate channel in Texas. For every 2 franchise offices that opens, 1's closing in this last year in 2022. And that's because they're not only dealing with other franchisees, but now they've got, you know, corporate agents that are coming in and competing with them for their business. And the corporate agents are also forced into this model where they have to get referral partners. And that's in the real estate market as well. So they're stepping all over each other. And now they've expanded this corporate channel to Colorado, Illinois, Ohio, North Carolina. And this is not just a problem for the franchisees. This is a problem for investors too, because the CEOs describe the corporate channel as a break-even business. The corporate channel stealing food out of the mouths of the franchisees is not good for investors as well. And it completely undermines the growth story to begin with. You know, making this, I mean, I haven't even talked about this, but making their trailing 12 months PE ratio 4,000 times. And it's one of the top 5 in all of the public markets. It looks completely ridiculous for what is essentially an insurance broker.
So wait a second. You're telling me that Goosehead currently trades at 4,000 times trailing earnings? I mean, how is that possible?
Yeah, it's part of it's because of their class structure and their class A and B shares. But most of it is that they've been touting themselves as this massive growth story. But I think you can see here, like after almost 5 years, less than $25 million in cumulative net income is not a massive growth story. And when it's all tied to real estate, that's really a recipe for disaster. But it's not a disaster for, you know, the CEO and the pre-IPO holders who have taken off $900 million. They've taken off $900 million off the table in the last 5 years.
And how have they theoretically taken that off the table? I mean, have they been issuing debt? I mean, what are they doing to actually extract those funds?
Well, their pre-IPO shares and their when they actually move their Class B shares to Class A shares, they can then cash in, and they have a TRA agreement, a tax receivable agreement, which gives them 85%. So, you know, when they do convert their shares, they increase the tax base of the company, and these guys get 85% of that back to them. So cumulatively, that plus what they're getting off dividends, because like, look, I mean, the good news is Goosehead offers dividends. They've given out, you know, $109 million, I think it is, in dividends since inception, since IPO. But half of that, $60 million, has gone to, again, the CEO and the insiders because of the class share structure. They take this money out, they borrow it. They obviously aren't making the net income to pay this dividend. So they're borrowing it. They're putting it on the company. The company's responsible for that loan. Shareholders are responsible for that loan. And they got half the money that they're not responsible to pay back.
So you're telling me that a company that almost essentially makes no money is actually still issuing a dividend?
Yeah. And borrowing money to do it. And getting half of the dividend for the C-suite family.
And before we sort of turn to any remaining thoughts here, I do want to just talk about the governance for a second, because I think the share class is important to lay out for our viewers. So can you just once again explain the difference there between the Class A, the Class B, and then who actually holds the different share classes?
Yeah, so the share class, Class B shareholders are basically Mark Jones's family and a few pre-IPO holders. He has approximately 85-90% of those Class B shares. And they control the governance completely. So when I said that Mark Jones, his wife as the vice chair, his son as the CFO, his son-in-law as the chief of legal can't be fired, what I mean is in that shareholder agreement, they simply state that none of these people can be fired unless the chairman or the controlling members of the Class B shares allows it to happen. And they are the controlling members of the Class B shares. So they can do whatever they want, essentially. I mean, I'm not a big fan of governance in our public markets as it is. I don't think it's done very well, but this is ridiculous. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, do you have any other remaining thoughts on Goosehead overall?
I mean, look, the governance aside, the ridiculous valuation aside, because, I mean, this is just an insurance broker. I mean, that's, you know, we all know insurance brokers. They don't have this great growth story. They've only got $23 million, $24 million in cumulative net income. Them being so tied to the real estate market is going to absolutely kill them in this next quarter and over the next year, in my opinion. And if they trade with their peers in the insurance market, this is like a $7 stock. So, you know, it's gone down quite a bit over the last year. But I see this as a sub $10 stock, and I think investors who really look into this will see it the same way, especially when they realize 67% churn for first-year agents is a whopping number. And we think it's higher for 2022. And that's going to be a big problem for them going forward.
You mentioned you believe it's a sub 10, around $7 stock. Can you just give us an idea of where industry comps are actually trading in terms of a multiple?
Yeah, they're around 27 times. I mean, it's a little less than 4,000. But I mean, it's an insurance company, for Pete's sake. It's a, you know, they didn't invent, you know, the next best thing. They've got a bit of a different model with franchisees, helping them with some of the back end work in service. But that becomes a conflict as well. I mean, it sounds great on paper when you're selling to a franchisee. Look, you know, customer service, we're going to handle that for you. But the problem becomes it's only nicky-nack questions. When customer service becomes a real issue and the agent is not involved, who loses that customer? The agent loses that renewal. So they end up getting involved. So they're not really saving them that much time. And it's one of the reasons there's churn as well. They don't have that personal relationship any longer with their customer. And, you know, I'm hearing that Goosehead's new model, or, you know, what they're saying these days, knowing that internally that real estate is a big headwind for them, is, hey, call all of your customers and sell them new lines of business, upgrade their lines of business. Well, that's a pretty tough sell when you only spoke to them one time in the beginning, and then the rest of the time they're speaking to corporate. It's just, it's not working for them. And the corporate channel's cannibalizing the franchisees. Many of their peers who have this franchise model are not pushing a corporate channel just for that reason. I mean, if they move into states where it's a really fleshed out franchise model like Florida, they're going to have a big problem because there's some franchisees down there that are not going to be happy about it.
Well, Dan, you've done a great job laying out your thesis here on Goosehead, and it seems pretty straightforward in terms of being tied to the housing market. But I do think it would be helpful for our viewers if you could just give one more quick summary in terms of those three key points that go into your belief that Goosehead's a good short here.
Yeah, I think what the market needs to know that hasn't really been fleshed out is that, you know, when management talks about them being a great growth story, you know, first it was tied to the real estate market. Now it's just tied to trust us, that 67% churn of new franchisees is a horrible growth story. And they're not, again, they're not doing anything that other insurance brokers don't really do. Their reliance on the housing market, this is hearing from former employees, for that referral business is 85 to 90% related to the housing market, loan officers, and things of that nature. And for C-suite to say, hey, we still have a lot of money tied up into this, and this is a real growth, the growth business is just getting started. Okay, take your $900 million and smile all the way, because I'm not buying it. If it was a real growth story that's just getting started, you would not have taken that much off the table. That would have been how much worth how much more if, you know, you've really earned that 4,000 multiple.
Well, Dan, you've done a great job laying out your case here. I do want to thank you for coming on and presenting your short thesis today.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it.